Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Radio Islam and welcome to the Household Express, a program dedicated to all your homemaking needs. And I'm your host, Sister Amara. Well, today Adikaicha won't be joining me today. She's a bit busy at the moment. But nevertheless, we have another guest in the which we will be chatting to you later on in the program of the cooking segment. So, first of all, here's what you can look forward to in today's program. Now, November is Diabetics Awareness Month, and I thought I'd share with you some spices and herbs for diabetics. And then we go on to the homemaking segment. It's tips to save water in the kitchen. As we know, South Africa is going through a drought at the moment, so we're sharing with you tips to save water in the kitchen. And then in our cooking segment, I have a surprise guest, Sister Zainab Dokrat, who is a food blogger, and the name of her blog is Spicy Fusion Kitchen, will be joining me on the line from Botswana, and she will be telling us all about her blog called Spicy Fusion Kitchen. And Sister Zainab has also prepared some lovely recipes for us. We will be sharing a granadilla butter cake recipe, a tandoori chicken with yogurt, chutney and salad, and a kulfi ice cream recipe. So be sure to keep your pens and papers ready for the recipe segment coming up later on in the program. Now the question I'm asking you today is, if you could splurge one, let me repeat it again, if you could splurge on one item in your kitchen, what would it be? If you could splurge on one item in your kitchen, what would it be? We'd love to hear from you on 082-565-8648. That's the SMS and WhatsApp number. You could also send me a tweet at Amara Radio Islam or follow me on Instagram at Amara_Mullah. Well, let's begin today's program with best spices and herbs for diabetics. Cinnamon is one excellent spice that you can also use. You can take 1 to 2 grams of cinnamon daily in the form of tea. You can also sprinkle it on your oatmeal, smoothies, or use it in cooking and baking. Another option is to take cinnamon supplements. However, always consult a doctor for the proper dosage suitable for your condition. Now, if you take blood thinning medication, avoid taking cinnamon. Then the next spice is fenugreek. The Indian name is methi. Soak 1 to 2 tablespoons of fenugreek seeds in water overnight. The next morning, drink the water and eat the seeds on an empty stomach. And you can follow this remedy daily. You can also eat baked goods made with fenugreek flour. And another option is to take a supplement after consulting a doctor. The next one is ginger. Ginger can also improve insulin sensitivity, reduce oxidation, and improve cholesterol levels. It even helps with weight loss. Drink 2 to 3 cups of ginger tea daily. Also include fresh or dried ginger in your cooking. And you can also take ginger supplements after consulting your doctor once again. Another spice is turmeric, we all know as arad or haldi. You can include it raw or powdered turmeric in your cooking. You can also take your turmeric supplements. You get different types of supplements, but best to consult your doctor as well. Now, turmeric is a good spice to control high blood sugar. It has an anti-inflammatory, antioxidant, it's actually good for arthritis as well. Heart-protecting and weight-reducing actions that help diabetic people manage blood sugar levels and reduce complications from the disease. Then we go on to garlic. Now, garlic also helps maintain healthy blood sugar levels in diabetic people. And you could eat 2 to 3 raw garlic cloves daily on an empty stomach. And then again, you could also include it in your cooking and also take supplements. And finally, we talk about curry leaves. Curry leaves will be also known as limri. Chew a few tender curry leaves daily in the morning on an empty stomach. And you can also add curry leaf powder to your soups and salads as well. So those were best spices and herbs for diabetics. We spoke about cinnamon, fenugreek, methi, ginger, turmeric, garlic, and curry leaves. Let's now go on to our homemaking segment, and it's water-saving tips in the kitchen. If you use a dishwasher, always fill it completely and choose a faster setting. When washing by hand, soak to soften the residues and scrub with a brush or sponge. Only use running water for a final rinse, never as a cleaning tool. Another water-saving tip in the kitchen is dilute dish detergent in advance and use a small amount so it will dissolve properly. Excess soap goes down the drain or need more water to be rinsed off. Another good idea is to install a sprayer on your tap. This distributes a small amount of water to a larger area. Then, when washing utensils, don't fill items like glasses, pots and bowls. Fill them so that the water reaches the sides and bottom. Defrost foods in the fridge to avoid soaking. Then also, when washing a jar or glass, put in a small amount of soapy water and shake with the cover on, then transfer the water to the next utensil, wipe and rinse. Also, another kitchen tip to save water is use a minimum of cooking water to retain nutrients and save on cooking time. Pasta needs much less water than the package instructs. Just stir frequently. Also, save cooking water for soups, grains and bread dough. Don't reuse water from washing dishes, but water from cleaning vegetables can be reused in the washing machine, toilet or even in the garden. A microwave or pressure cooker retains more moisture than the stovetop or oven. And we continue with some water saving tips in the kitchen. It's also a good idea to keep an eye when cooking. You can save buckets of water by making simple changes to your cooking habits. To start, don't defrost anything using the hot tap. Try and leave it in the fridge overnight. Similarly, wash your vegetables in a bowl of water rather than under the tap as well. Then also, reuse cooking water. Yes, you can actually use your cooking water if you're boiling rice or pasta or steaming your vegetables, and that water can be cooled and used into your garden as well. Then also, when cooking, use only the amount of water required. This reduces the amount of water wasted when straining. And also, when you in the laundry room, be sure to match the water level in your load sides. If your washing machine doesn't allow manual water level adjustment, wait until you have a full load before you run your washing machine. And today's washing machine has all those different settings. You can either use low, medium or high. So if you have a low, a little bit of washing, use a low setting. And you can basically just judge your loads with your clothes as well. Now we're going on to a short break. When we come back, we're going to go on to our cooking segment. That's when Sister Zainab Dokrat, who is a food blogger, and the name of a food blog is Spicy Fusion Kitchen, will be joining us online from Botswana. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and jazakallah, brother Ziyad, for the lovely nizam, memories of Medina indeed, and we leave our hearts behind in Medina. Jazakallah for that. Well, today we're chatting with Sister Zainab, the sweet lady behind the great blog, Spicy Fusion Kitchen. I love Zainab's blog because she shares unique, delicious, easy to prepare meals. Spicy Fusion Kitchen is a great place to find meal ideas you and your family will love. Assalamu alaikum Zainab, how are you? And welcome to the Household Express and welcome to Radio Islam International.
Wa alaikum salam. How are you, Sister Mara?
Alhamdulillah, I'm well.
I'm so nervous at this point, but
it's fine. I know it's your first time on air, but don't worry, we'll make you feel comfortable.
It's been a while.
It's been a while, yes indeed. Zainab, tell us all about your blog. Why did you decide to start off a food blog?
Well, I was always intrigued with blogging as a whole. It was something that I really wanted to give a shot. And at that time, I wasn't really sure what subject to choose. So it so happened that my mom was really into blogging on Facebook. So she would be sharing recipes and pictures on the food groups on Facebook. And I started helping her, and I realized how much fun it was. And so I decided, okay, so food blogging. And I really decided in a couple of days I was going to try food blogging. And I gave myself a trial. And I was like, if you don't succeed in it, you're going to try. And for some reason, I was just so stubborn to not give up. And alhamdulillah, I've come a long way. And I realized that it's just something I enjoy doing.
Alhamdulillah. Well, indeed, you've come a long way. A really, really lovely food blog. I've been through the whole blog. Now, Zainab, what is the story behind your blog's name, Spicy Fusion Kitchen?
Well, there's no fancy story behind the name. I was sitting at the laptop one night and thinking the sign-up form was there, and I'm like, okay, I could put a title, what should it be? And I love spicy food. I'm a true Indian in that sense, but I thought, okay, everything I share will have a kick to it, so spicy has to be in there. And then when I realized about fusion, we in Southern Africa, how we cook is quite different, and we think it's normal. But if you compare our cooking to the rest of the world, it is a fusion of different methods and recipes and cultures and so on. And so I thought, okay, so fusion is a great name, and it would attract a lot of viewers. And I thought, because people will now get confused with spicy and fusion, I put in kitchen, and that's how it happened. It really is not a fancy story, but that is just, now when I think of it, it makes sense.
Lovely. Now, take us to the contents of your blog.
Well, my blog at the moment has three contents, and I would love to expand it in future, but at the moment it's just the recipe part, the recipe book. That's where I share the recipes we've tried at home, me, my mom, whoever we are in the family. When we try recipes, we put it on the blog. And I love to give my small tips to it, because I'm a beginner myself. I'm in no way an expert. So I add a little bit of notes in the post itself. So whoever is following the recipe, I'll say add a little bit more, go a bit less. You know, just to help somebody out, as I would have wanted that help when I was doing it. And then the second part is the food diary, and that's just a picture diary that I want to share. Maybe if we have occasions, a creative way to set everything up, the themes you can do. For example, I shared a post on the Euro theme I did for Ramadan Eid. And just where you can get a few items from, the menu, the decor, centerpieces. If I travel, inshallah, in future, I want to share my food journey. So it's just a picture diary to like intrigue more viewers to come to my blog and so on. And the last is the spice dictionary, and that is because when I started cooking, I had no idea of what spices were.
Yes.
There's so many names to it and so many ways to use it. I would get so confused. My mom would say, you must put speed bumpers in your vagad. And I was just, what is speed bumpers? And she would be like, ilachi, taj, and lavang. And I would draw in my mini recipe book how the spices looked and the color. And because I was getting so confused, so I thought this would be great for beginners or for people who don't come from an Indian background and just want to know more of the spices. But it's been slacking a bit because I've been studying and so on. But inshallah, I do want to expand it to healthier recipes, to vegan recipes, gluten-free recipes. I just want to incorporate as much for everybody, but inshallah, in future, not right now.
Really interesting, yes. And with a bit of humor in this, I like that speed bumpers. My kids call it speed traps. Get your ilachi and cinnamon and cloves.
When we sit at the table, me and my sister try and find the ilachi, so our whole meal doesn't get ruined. And we're like, we spotted it, so we made it.
Right. Now, Zena, where did your passion for food come from?
I think it began when I was small till I grew up now. When I was small, I would always play with my pots and pans, and I would sit in front of my sister, and I would have my own mini cooking show, and I'd be in my own cooking world. And I was really sold on the fact that a vagar had to have tomatoes, and it was only from my teens that I realized that it doesn't, and I was so disappointed with myself. But that is just, when I was small, I would play around and I would ask for roti and so on, and just to roll it out. And when I started school, it took a stop there. My granny has a saying that you're not allowed in the kitchen when you're young. You must enjoy your life. When you're older, you'll be cooking enough, so don't come in the kitchen. So I didn't come in the kitchen. And when I finished high school, then I was put on pizza, pasta, salad duty, and I hate it now because for years I just did that. My auntie taught me how to make those, and I was just doing, those are the basics and very, very easy to learn. But I was always surrounded with cooking. My mom and my auntie loved to try new things. My mom taught me how to be so organized in the kitchen, how to work in a clean manner so it doesn't look like a disaster happened in the kitchen. My dad loves to cook. My granny loves to cook. So it's just being surrounded by everybody. It just ignited the passion in me.
So basically, your whole family is basically like a cooking background, like all chefs.
We like not pros, but we love to try new things, and sometimes it comes out bad, but we're like, at least we tried it. And we all have that question at night, what are we going to cook tomorrow? So I think that also aimed my recipe blog, so I would help people who think that what should we cook tomorrow, so they don't have that question. And I know my mom always asks my dad, and my dad will say anything, and it's like the most annoying answer to my mom, because she's like, what is anything? So this really does help a lot of people who want to cook, who have the ingredients in their home and just don't know what to make that's new.
Mm-hmm. Now, Zainab, you've also had some lovely achievements. You've also won the 2015 Most Inspirational Blog. Tell us about that.
That was a surprise that I was nominated for, because I'm part of a group called Muslima Bloggers. Amazing group of women that are very, very helpful, very motivating, lovely women. And the group itself has to nominate people who they think should be a part of the award, and they nominated me. So I was very surprised to get tagged, and once I was nominated, I had to post it everywhere, get voters to vote for me, my subscribers, my viewers, and so on, and I ended up winning it, which was a lovely surprise. But it is a little motivation for me, because I really was struggling to keep going on with this blog. It's very hard at times, and it's just the little things that happen along your way, alhamdulillah, that really shows you that you can go forward, even if you're from a small town like myself.
Alhamdulillah, yes. And you mentioned a small town, you're based in Botswana.
Yes, I'm from Lobatse.
Lobatse, okay. Are there a lot of Muslim people in Lobatse?
There is quite a big group of Muslim women, and we're a small knitted community, so we're very, very close. They were all talking on the WhatsApp group that Zainab's going to be on the radio, so I was just getting more nervous that everybody's going to be listening to me.
And I'm sure they're listening in.
I think they're listening in,
okay. And do you have a special shout out to anybody out there in Lobatse?
Putting me on the spot, Sister Amara. Now, I just want to thank everybody, because we're a small community, so everyone always has a very nice thing to say, and they're always very motivating for me. Like, they'll say, Zainab, congratulations for winning, or may Allah take you further in life. And that is really nice to hear, because you think that, am I doing the right thing? Is it worth it? Is it, you know, so those type of questions when you're young, it runs in your mind. But I really do have a lot of appreciation for where I am right now, how I've come here, for all of the women, be it Lobatse or my following outside. It's really, really nice to see nice women help other women go further.
Alhamdulillah. Mm-hmm. Now, you can also subscribe onto your blog, Spicy Fusion Kitchen, and you know, that's when you can also receive recipes, you can also share recipes. How do you go about doing that?
Well, my blog itself, there is a subscribe button, so you would go on either your laptop or your phone, and you would just add your email and just click subscribe, and you would go to your email and confirm your subscription. It's very simple. On Facebook, I have a group which is very interactive, very friendly. They can people can ask questions, ask for advice. They ask me questions, and I'm just like, I'm not a pro yet, so I would go and ask somebody else to give them the right advice. But it's just where we can communicate together. You can seek out recipes, get new recipes that I maybe haven't shared yet. And also my Instagram, that's where I post the pictures of what I've cooked. Maybe I won't share it on my blog, because it's just a simple toasted cheese sandwich, but it's just for food pictures. Sometimes I share a quick way to cook something, and it's a little video or so on. So it's just, I'm starting to go more into social media to market my blog.
Alhamdulillah, yes. And Zainab, you're also like a beginner in the cooking, in the cooking part, yes. So would you have some tips for beginners, cooking tips for beginners that you want to share with us?
I think the first step I'd always say is to be very organized and clean when you're cooking. If you're organized, particularly with me, if I'm organized, my whole process goes nicely. I love to cook, but I don't love to spend hours in the kitchen. I'm not that type of person. That's something my mom instilled into me. So I would say be organized. If you have a recipe, take out all of your ingredients out and lay it out on the table. I like to take out a plastic sheet to cover my countertop so it doesn't get dirty, and then work from there. I would say when you're all, practice makes perfect. We will always have flops. We will always make mistakes, but that's okay. That's how you learn. I know my recipes, I don't share measurements, and it's a bad thing because sometimes beginners really do need measurements. When I started off, I would measure, but now I've gotten to a point where I just add what I think is the right amount and go mm-hmm. from there. I would also say be careful. With when you're marinating, do the marination before adding it to your meat. Because if you add it on top of your meat, you may make a mistake. Mm-hmm. Like it's too salty, it's too strong, and then there's no going back. So it's just when you're a beginner, just take it easy as it goes. Try easy recipes. Like I said, I tried pizza and pasta, and those are really easy recipes. Like I'm even trying to explain to my nanny how pasta is made. But you just start from the bottom and you work your way up. And inshallah, on my blog, I do share little tips with that particular recipe, maybe how to garnish it as well, how to plate up your food as well. So you keep on track with that.
Mm-hmm. And also, Zainab, you know, the question I actually pose to the listeners out there is, if you could splurge on one item in your kitchen, what would it be? And what would yours be?
I would say my own kitchen.
Your own kitchen umbrella, yes.
I love sharing a kitchen with my family, but we all have those moments where you get so frustrated sharing a kitchen with somebody. You like how things should be your own way and that. But I think in your kitchen, the basics matter. If you have like a mini, a chopper or something that makes your life easier, or I would say a good set of pots. Because that goes a long way. You know, just little things. You don't have to break the bank when it comes to kitchenware or having a high-tech kitchen or to create these amazing meals. But you will, like, whatever you have in your kitchen, you can work with. I just say, you must just, I'm very appreciative of what I have, but I would say one day, inshallah, my own kitchen.
Inshallah. Zainab, stay on the line. We're going to go for a short break. When we come back, we're going to go on to our recipe segment, and you're going to be sharing with us some lovely recipes. Yes, we've got a granadella butter cake recipe. We've got a tandoori chicken with yogurt, chutney, and salad, and we've got a lovely kulfi ice cream recipe. So the listeners can actually go and get your pens and papers or recipe books on hand, or leave your cell phones on standby to actually record the recipes that we share with you today. And all the recipes are courtesy of Sister Zainab from her blog called Spicy Fusion Kitchen. So up next, our recipe segment. Stay tuned.
Household Express, every Thursday morning from 10 to 11, a program dedicated to all your homemaking needs. It offers practical tips and advice on organizing your home, home management ideas, consumer tips, household hints and remedies, home decorating, budgeting, and more.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back. And online, we're talking to Sister Zainab, who is a food blogger, and the name of her blog is Spicy Fusion Kitchen. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back, Zainab.
Wa alaikum salam, jazakallah.
Ameen. Well, you know, I actually posed a question to the listeners on Twitter. If you could splurge on one kitchen, sorry, let's repeat it again. If you could splurge on one item in your kitchen, what would it be? And this is the one of our listeners says, a roti maker on a lighter side to your question, a gadget to answer my question, what must I cook today? Indeed, yes.
Yeah, you could have one of those new apps that you just shake it and it will tell you what recipe to make.
What to cook every day, yes. What to cook every day. And you ask, what to cook? Anything. We don't know what's anything. Okay, let's now go on to our recipe segment. Zainab, you've got some lovely recipes you're actually going to be sharing with us. Let's begin with a granadella butter cake. Then we're going to go on to the tandoori chicken with yogurt, chutney and salad. And we're going to end up with a lovely kulfi ice cream recipe. So let's go for the first recipe. It's a granadella butter cake.
This is a very nice recipe. It's very light, very moist, and it's very good for summer. I know it's like straight into summer, no spring whatsoever.
All right.
But you'll need for your cake batter ingredients. You will need 125 grams butter or margarine softened, 250 ml caster sugar, 4 extra large eggs separated, 5 ml of vanilla essence, 45 ml granadilla pulp, 500 ml cake flour, 10 ml baking powder, 1 ml salt, 120 ml of milk, 80 ml water, and 5 ml cream of tartar. So that's 125 grams butter or margarine softened, 250 ml of caster sugar, 4 extra large eggs separated, 5 ml of vanilla essence, 45 ml grenadilla pulp, 500 ml cake flour, 10 ml baking powder, 1 ml salt, 120 ml of milk, 80 ml water, and 5 ml cream of tartar.
Mm-hmm. So that's for the cake batter. Let's now go on to grenadilla butter icing.
That's 125 grams of butter or margarine softened, 375 ml of icing sugar, 45 ml grenadilla pulp, 5 ml vanilla essence.
Mm-hmm.
So 125 grams butter or margarine softened, 375 ml icing sugar, 45 ml grenadilla pulp, 5 ml vanilla essence.
Mm-hmm. Let's now go on to the method, Zainab.
So the first step is you cream the butter and sugar together. The next you add the yolks one at a time, beating well after each is added until light and fluffy. When fluffy, add the vanilla essence and grenadilla pulp. Next, you're going to sift the flour, baking powder and salt together. Then you're going to add the egg mixture. Slowly add in the milk and water. Next, you're going to beat the egg whites with a cream of tartar until stiff peak, and then fold in lightly into the creamed mixture. Bake in a preheated oven at 180 degrees for 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And now after you remove it from the oven and you leave it to cool, you'll pop it out of your pans and you will ice it the way you want to ice it, with the grenadilla butter icing.
Mm-hmm. Indeed, yes. So let's repeat the method. You cream the butter and sugar together. You take your egg yolks one at a time, beating well after each addition. And then you also beat it until it's light and fluffy. Then when it's fluffy, you add the vanilla essence and the grenadilla pulp. Now, when it comes to grenadilla pulp, do you use a thin one?
I use the thin one, but I know now it's summer, so grenadilla is all over the place. So you can use the fresh one if you want to, but we use the thin one.
Okay.
But you can go both ways.
Okay. Then you sift your flour, your baking powder, and salt together. Then add the egg mixture alternatively with milk. Then you add you actually beat the egg whites with cream of tartar. Now, if you're going to beat the egg whites with cream of tartar, in fact, it makes it more stiff.
Yeah, that's supposed to become stuff, which you will fold in lightly with the creamed mixture.
Okay, then you turn out into two greased 20 cm round cake pans.
Yes.
Okay, then you're going to bake in a preheated oven at 180 degrees for 30 minutes. And then when you remove it from the oven and leave to cool, you may then ice your cake with the grenadilla butter icing that you actually shared. Now, those recipes are all on our website. You can go on to www.radioislam.co.za. And if you don't have access to internet, you can call Sister Faiza on 011-854-7022, and she will greatly assist you. Then let's go for the next recipe. It's a tandoori chicken with yogurt, chutney and salad. This recipe sounds absolutely divine.
It is so yummy, and we love making it, especially when we get visitors, because it's so easy to make. But when I give the ingredients, I'll tell you the different ways to cook it as well, because
okay,
there are different ways too. For your ingredients, you need a disjointed chicken, quarter cup lemon juice, 2 teaspoons freshly ground garlic, 2 teaspoons red chili powder, 1 teaspoon ground cumin, 2 teaspoon ground green chilies, 3 teaspoons tandoori spice powder, some yellow and red food coloring, 1/4 cup plain yogurt, and 2 tablespoons olive oil.
Mm-hmm. So for the ingredients for the tandoori chicken, it's 1 disjointed chicken that has been cut and washed.
Yes.
1/4 cup lemon juice, 2 teaspoons freshly ground garlic, 2 teaspoons red chili powder, 1 teaspoon ground cumin, the chochiru, 2 teaspoons ground green chilies, 3 teaspoons tandoori spice powder, some yellow and red food coloring, 1/4 cup plain yogurt, and 2 tablespoons olive oil. Now, Zeta, when it comes to tandoori spice powder, where would you purchase from, any of your spice stores?
Well, over here we do have a spice shop,
mm-hmm.
but you can get it. I know in South Africa there's more availability of spices.
Yes, there is so much. Yes.
So there's different ones you can try. Some I know some people they have family overseas that can send to them, so you can get that from overseas as well. But basic tandoori masala and powder you can find anywhere nowadays. It's very widely available.
So you can use the tandoori paste as well.
You can use it. I personally have never tried it before with the paste. We usually just go for the powder, but you can use the paste as well.
And I think the paste is selling here in South Africa at the spice stores, at your local butcher. You get different brands of tandoori paste as well. So you can try both and just see whichever one you prefer. Well, indeed, they actually quite good in using it, yes. Mm-hmm.
So it's more like what you prefer.
What you prefer, yeah, and
exactly.
You've got different tastes, and that's so you can just,
you can just experiment a little bit and come about
and
with what you
like. And they're quite tasty indeed. Very easy to use indeed as well. Now for the method, Zainab.
Okay, obviously you will marinate your chicken with above spices and leave to marinate overnight. You can now, for the different types of cooking, you can either grill it in the oven with a little bit of water.
Okay.
Or you can cook it on the stove in a very traditional way.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can braai or barbecue it, which we prefer doing it. We love doing it that way.
Okay.
Now, when it comes to braaiing and barbecuing, if that's what you want to do, I'll say that the ladies should make extra marinade to keep on the side. With that marinade, add a bit of butter. And you would roast it on, not roast it, mask, but you would give it a bit of a boil on the stove. When it just heats up, use that to baste your chicken as you're turning it on the braai stand.
Okay, so basically you're going to use your extra marinade for a basting sauce as well.
Exactly. It keeps the chicken very moist and so it doesn't dry up very quickly.
Mm-hmm. Lovely, yes. And how would you serve it?
Okay, how we usually serve it is we would get out a platter and we would have a salad. So your basic salad, you can do a shredded salad, just something to make it make the red pop more. So we would place the salad around your platter and put the chicken in the middle, the chicken pieces in the middle, and we would serve it with a side of yogurt chutney, which is very simple to make. It's plain yogurt you would need. Every Indian household has green chutney, so just add green chutney to it. And what we like to do, you take a dollop of mint sauce, which it gives just a different flavor to it. Not so much that it's overbearing, just a little bit. And that's how we like to serve it. Garnish with a bit of coriander as well.
Lovely. This really sounds absolutely divine. And you can actually serve it with your pita breads and your chips, your potato wedges indeed. Yes.
Yeah, that's, we switch it up all the time with how we serve it. This is how we served it on Eid Day.
So lovely, yes.
That recipe.
I think it's important for you to marinate it overnight.
When it comes to chicken, it's best to marinate it overnight or the minimum 8 hours, just so all of the flavors and the spices fuse together and you get a more intense taste when you're eating your chicken.
Okay. Now we're going to wrap up today's program with a lovely kulfi ice cream recipe, also courtesy of Sister Zainab. Let's go for the kulfi ice cream recipe, Zainab.
Okay, for your ingredients, you will need 1 liter long life milk, 2 tablespoons Nespre powder, 2 teaspoons corn flour, 1 teaspoon ilachi powder, 155 grams Nestle cream, 397 grams condensed milk, a few drops of vanilla extract, a few drops of green food coloring, and ground pistachios.
So that's quite easy. So the ingredients for the kulfi ice cream recipe is 1 liter long life milk, 2 tablespoons Nespray powder, 2 teaspoons corn flour, which are maizena, 1 teaspoon ilachi powder, 155 grams Nestle cream, 397 grams tin condensed milk, few drops vanilla extract, a few drops of green food coloring, and your ground pistachios. And for the method, Zainab?
The first step is to take half a cup milk, add your corn flour and Nespray powder, and mix well. Make sure there's no lumps. Next step would be add the remaining milk and the rest of the ingredients except the pistachios and bring to a boil. Mm-hmm. Then you want to place the mixture in the freezer for a few hours before placing in an ice cream machine. While it's in the ice cream machine, slowly add your pistachios, and when it's done, place back in the freezer. And then you can serve it up and just garnish with more ground pistachios.
All right. So let's repeat the method. You take a half cup milk and add the corn flour and Nespray powder and mix well. Make sure there's no lumps. Add the remaining milk and the rest of ingredients except the pistachios. Bring this to a boil. Place the mixture into a tub and then in the freezer for a few hours before placing in the ice cream machine. Slowly add the pistachios to the mixture while still in the machine. When done, place back in the freezer and top with ground pistachios when serving. Now, Zainab, what happens if you don't have an ice cream machine?
I know there is a different method of making for those that don't have an ice cream machine. Unfortunately, I'm not so familiar with it, nor have I tried it. I know a lot of people just keep taking it out of the freezer and whipping it with their hands a lot, putting it back in the freezer, take it out again. I'm not so familiar with it, so I don't want to say the wrong thing and just I'll give someone a wrong idea. But inshallah, I will look into it. Because I was thinking of it earlier, I will look into it and I'll do a whole post on it as well for those that want to do ice cream and don't have an ice cream machine. There is a method, I'm just really not so sure about it.
Okay, and then maybe you can put it into your cake mixture or you just carry on beating it with a hand beater.
It's just supposed to remain cold while you beat it. So maybe if you put it in a tub of ice, you know, and you just keep whipping it with your hand and that, I think that is how the way to do it. But I know if you do it wrong, you may get sick while eating it. So that's why I just want to do a bit more research into it.
Okay, lovely. Zainab, your contact details on Twitter, on Instagram, and your Facebook page. I see you also on Pinterest. If you can just share it with the listeners.
Okay, my website is www.spicyfusionkitchen.com, which is quite simple, and you can find all of the recipes on there. My Instagram is at spicyfusionkitchen, no spaces, and my personal Instagram is at mazzani. I'm not so on in Pinterest at the moment, but my name is, you can just search Zainab Dokrat and pin my board, which is Spicy Fusion Kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
I do have my Facebook group, which is the one that I started off with in the beginning, that is Spicy Fusion Kitchen. And that's basically all of my my social media at the moment. My Twitter is it's more personal than with recipes, so I don't share much of my recipes on there. But those are my contact details, and I do have an email if anybody needs to contact me for future.
Yes, please share your email address.
It's zaini@spicyfusionkitchen.com.
Okay, Zaini at spicyfusionkitchen.com. Well, it's quite simple, yes, Zainab. To Zakalaghe for the lovely interview, for the lovely recipes as well. Inshallah, in the new year, we'll be contacting you for some more lovely recipes indeed.
I would love to have you. I'd love to come back on your show. To Zakalaghe.
Inshallah, next year. To Zakalaghe, Zainab, I really enjoyed it. And I'm sure most of the listeners did it well as well.
It was a pleasure. It's really nice to get there. I just want to say that Jazakallah for having me, for all the lovely women that motivate me and keep me going. And also we are so blessed to have food on our table, and the ability to even taste the food is a blessing from Allah. So in future, whatever my journey takes me, I would love to help as many people as I can.
Some lovely inspirational words to end of this interview of today, and also to end of the Household Express. Jazakallah Zainab, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Well, that's where we do it for today. Remember, recipes on our website. If you don't have access, 011-854-7022, you can contact Sister Faiza, who will gladly assist you. From Yamara, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.